If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Green 19 Podcast. I'm Dominique Yates. I'm joined by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein. It's almost Thanksgiving. It's almost Lions-Packers matchup. Man, it doesn't get much better than this.
It's a little different than the Packers-Lions matchups of yore that you're familiar to, aren't they?
I don't know. I think they've been, well, if you're talking about way back when the Lions weren't any good in the 90s, yeah, I mean, they had that long winning streak against them. But of late, going into Ford Field's been kind of a crapshoot for them. Sometimes it's turned out okay, and sometimes it's been, devastating. So, I was just thinking back to, was it 22 when Rodgers got the concussion, and then, or maybe it was 21, and Jordan Love had to play. He played, and I think that
finale,
they lost.
I think.
Yeah, they lost by like 2 points or something like that. It was a really close game.
For like the 13th win, and then Matt LaFleur was really upset after because he really wanted, or maybe it was the 14th win, but he like it was a game that didn't matter for him.
Yeah, but the fact that Rodgers got a concussion was bad, but Love got to play and wasn't terrible, as I recall.
That was the same game where David Bakhtiari played 27 snaps.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And just wrecked his knee.
Yeah, you're right. Mm.
So this one's going to be interesting, too, in terms of toss-ups. I mean, at least me personally, if you had asked me about 3 or 4 weeks ago, how would I see this game playing out, or at least my prediction, I would have said, oh, yeah, I think Detroit will win comfortably. I'm not as confident in that right now in terms of how both of the teams have kind of played at this point over the past couple of weeks. The Lions needed overtime to beat the Giants. The Packers were able to, as we talked about, take the air out of the ball and get through Minnesota. I don't know, Ryan, what are kind of your feelings as you get prepared for this match?
3 weeks ago, the idea that I'd pick the Packers in this game would have been nuts. I would have thought it was crazy. And by no means am I confident either way in this game. No. Let's be clear. But I'm leaning Packers because of very little about the Packers. The Lions are very beatable right now. They are 3-3 in their last six games. In their last six games, they have not had two wins or losses in a row. They are up, they are down, and they're especially beatable at home. They lost to the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, in Ford Field. The Giants took them to overtime in Ford Field. Like, we spent all offseason talking about how, okay, the Lions might struggle this year with two new coordinators. I don't think it should be a surprise that at 7-4 and very, very beatable, they've struggled with two new coordinators. It's been a theme for them all season. It's not the first time we've seen that. The 2023 Philadelphia Eagles struggled with two new coordinators. That happens. It is hard. And I see, bottom line, these are two really talented teams who have not played up to their potential. One of them's going to figure it out, and they're going to be a player in this NFC. The other might not. So that's how I see it.
Yeah, I guess the big thing I look at with the Lions, just the injuries.
Yeah.
Right now, they're just some big blows and a lot of injuries that they've dealt with. So, again, that's also
part of it.
But
they did better with that last year, right?
Like, they did.
Even worse last year, and they just plowed right through it. It's hard to do every single season.
Yeah, Spoon just kind of feelings.
Well, if I'm on the other side, if I'm the Lions, I think the same thing about the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
They're just
no doubt
nothing they've done on their schedule tells me that they're anything to be worried about.
No.
So
except for beating the Lions week one, but other than
that was so long ago that I don't know that either of these two guys are factors in the NFC.
We'll see.
I mean, there's still a ways to go, and Chicago could prove to be one of those teams that, in its first year, like LaFleur, went 13-3. They could wind up being that team, and both the Lions and Packers could be, fighting for second place. So, I don't know. It's two teams that, while they do have a lot of talent, they just aren't playing very well, either one.
You know, you mentioned Chicago, and I don't know where you are with them. I think you have to at least acknowledge 8-3. But they have played nobody. They have beaten literally nobody. And now they'll have a chance to change that, right? I mean, the Packers still get them twice. I mean, they'll be able to change that. But as I still look at this division, I do still look at it as Packers-Lions. We'll see if that changes or not.
I would counter, who have the Packers beaten?
They've beaten the Steelers on a pretty impressive Sunday night in Pittsburgh.
So did the Bears.
Bears beat the against Steelers. A backup quarterback, not Aaron Rodgers, okay. At home. That's not one game. Sunday night in Pittsburgh, a little different. They beat the Lions. They beat the Commanders when Jaden Daniels was healthy. I mean, I think the Commanders coming into the season very different than what they became. They've beaten some teams. The Bears have literally beaten nobody. I mean, look at their schedule. They have beaten no one. I'm not saying that won't change.
Schedule, yeah. But I just don't, the Packers have the toughest remaining schedule of any team in the NFL. Yeah. And that's because they played a bunch of easy teams in the, you know, and they made it look hard. So I don't know. I'm not convinced Chicago won't stand up to their schedule. We'll see. I mean, they're certainly building confidence, and I don't think anybody thought, and I keep bringing back to LaFleur in 2019, that they were going to go 13-3. You know, they didn't seem like that type of team, and they started out kind of struggling a little bit. So anyway.
Yeah. Again, that's what makes this part of the year, for me, I've been looking forward to this stretch. Because this is the time where you'll see, will any team separate themselves from the pack? Will the Packers become the top in the NFC North? Will the Bears manage to do it? Will the Lions figure things out? Like, this is what it's all about right now. So you have to be ready to go when there's so many interesting matchups here. But when I look at the Packers offense getting ready for the Lions defense, it's intriguing. Because I talk to, you know, reporters from different teams, you know, every week. And on the Lions side, like I said, they talked about the offensive line and the defensive lines for the Detroit Lions just hadn't been as dominant as in years past. And D-line, they just haven't really helped Aiden Hutchinson with the pass rush. It's just pretty much been him, and he hasn't had as much help. You know, what do you think about just the Packers offensively preparing for this matchup with Detroit defensively? I mean, they still have good players, right? But in terms of a defense that hasn't been as dominant.
It's the same question that we've been asking for a few weeks now, which is about the offensive line configuration. And the big question there is, will Anthony Belton be the starting right guard, or will they go Jordan Morgan? We'll see. And Smoony made the point after the game Sunday that it might come down to game plan. But I do think that offensively, they are going to want to do what they set their entire offseason schedule to, which is be that physical team that can come in and beat you up. That's what they're going to want to do. Anthony Belton gives them the best chance to do that. So I'm kind of leaning to be that way. The offensive line, it, for better or worse, it's all kind of started there this season with this offense. Right. It was much better against the Vikings. And obviously they're taking the air out of the ball, but a really formidable defense coordinator, blitz scheme package, Brian Flores, Vikings defense, it was much better. Will that continue or not? That goes a long way here.
Yeah. Smoon, just thoughts on Packers offense getting ready for this?
I still think there's things going on in the offensive line that Detroit can take advantage of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Hutchinson, there's a lot of debate whether he's not the guy that he was or he's not playing like the guy he was, whether you need to double-team him constantly. I think it's tough playing there for the Packers offensive line. It's going to be really tough for them just getting off the snap, and it's typically tough playing in an indoor place. I don't know. You know, last year the Lions were just devastated on defense, and they just came up with a great game plan and I mean, really, really beat the crap out of the Packers up front. And I don't know if they can do that this time around. I don't know. There's a possibility they get Marcus Davenport back, but that would help them a lot. They don't really have an edge guy to opposite Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. If they're missing Kirby Joseph, that hurts them quite a bit. I don't know what some of their, Tyrion Arnold's coming back from a concussion. I think a lot of that matters. I really don't know what to think about their defense. They will make you work for every yard, but then they gave up some huge plays against the Giants. Yeah. So if they're not getting pass rush, that's when they're in trouble. Because they're a man-to-man team, and Jordan Love, when you give him time, is way better than when he's pressured.
Yeah.
Who has the best unit in this matchup?
Of what?
Lions, Packers, offense, defense, special teams. Who has the best unit?
I think the Lions have the best offensive unit. Mm-hmm. I think they're tops. I mean, their numbers are hard to dispute. Now, in the last couple of games, they've scored some points, but they haven't been as efficient. But man, they can be really explosive. I mean, they score a lot of points. They have a lot of big plays.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they lead the league in 20-yard plays or 40-yard plays or something like that. And if they're protecting Goff, then, and, you know, they're getting Gibbs going, they might be the best offensive team in the league.
Would you take the Lions' offense over the Packers' defense?
When they're right, when they're protecting, yes. I don't know if they're going to have Graham Glasgow at center without him. I mean, even with him, he got kind of knocked around a little bit in that game. If he's not playing, you know, I can see Micah Parsons lining up a lot in the middle.
Yeah.
And trying to take advantage of that. You know, the interior of their offensive line is their weakness. Mm-hmm. And so the Packers would have to figure out a way to take advantage of that.
I think I would take the Packers defense to my question, but that's why I asked it, because I mean Packers defense, Lions offense, that's going to be what decides this game, and I think I'd take Packers defense. I'm not real sure. I'm really curious to see who wins that matchup.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question with this defense. If you thought the Packers – like if going into it, you say, okay, the Packers defense is going to play like it did against Minnesota, tackling well, getting pressure, you know what I mean, getting to the quarterback and taking the ball away, all of those things, you would feel better, because with the Lions not having Sam Laporta, with the injuries on the offensive line and just how they haven't always produced. Right now, it doesn't seem like the connection between Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown, it doesn't seem like it's consistently been there from what I've seen. And so I feel like there's still a lot of things that they're figuring out, but Jahmyr Gibbs is still going to be the X factor. If you don't tackle him, if he starts breaking off some runs, because that's been one thing Packers defense, like the run defense hasn't always been there. So I think that really is kind of a big X factor you have to consider.
And can the Packers defense duplicate against Jahmyr Gibbs what it did week one?
Yeah.
In Detroit. I don't have the book in front of me. What was it, like 7 catches for 30 yards or something like that? Yeah. Can they swarm him and do that again? Because that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
They put on a clinic on how to do it. Can they repeat it? I have no idea.
It is tough. But the one thing I will say, too, about the Lions offense, and we talked about it with this Packers unit, like, they've had games this season where, okay, you score 30 points, you score 40 points, you just, you know, have those explosive plays and not look back on a team. The Packers just haven't done that this season. So right. That's what makes it such, again, an intriguing matchup, what Lions offense will come out ready to go.
Yeah, and what I think, more importantly, what Packers offense comes out. Because the defense and offense matter. So even if the Lions have a better offense than the Packers defense, you know, the Packers offense can play a big role in giving the defense some help, as they did in the Vikings game, which was getting ahead. You get ahead, and the Packers are a really good defense when they're ahead. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they really – I really think the Packers need to control the game as best they can, control the clock, make – the Lions played 77 plays – Lions defense had 77 plays. They were on the field.
That's significant, the Giants. Too.
And the Packers defense was like on for 44. Yeah. So that is significant. But only if you can control the clock. Only if you can keep their defense on the field. And so, you know, if I'm LaFleur, I wouldn't be hunting the big stuff right away. I'd be trying to get Jacobs going. I'd be trying to see how they're playing off Watson and work that. You know, I'm assuming Jaden Reed's going to play, so there could be some short stuff there. Same with Golden if he plays. Yeah, I would try to control the clock.
If the Packers win the toss and you're Matt LaFleur, do you receive?
Yes.
I think so. I think getting off to a lead, a touchdown lead, 7 points, maybe 10 points. So important. I mean, you obviously always want to lead in every game. You never want to play from behind. You're trying to score, and that's obvious. But it's just so – it's such an important factor because of what the defense then sets up to do, getting after Jared Goff on a surface. We know that Rashawn Gary loves pass rushing on, and obviously Micah Parsons can pass rush anywhere, including the moon. So I think that's really important this game.
You do. It's because we haven't seen a lot this season how the Packers defense plays when they have a lead. And I don't know, maybe that opening script for the Packers offense, maybe they figure something out. Granted, they had a big boost because of the PI that Musgrave had, so they were able to, you know, kind of get some good field position there. So we'll see. I think they do need to get the ball first and see what happens. But I am curious because I was thinking about Jaden Reed. I don't necessarily have a question. I am just curious how much they would use him in this game, because I think about Christian Watson. Where did he come back? Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was, what, 10 snaps? Which,
oh, no, it was a lot more.
Or no, it was more than that because they were surprised. 4 targets,
80-some yards.
Because they were surprised how many, like, snaps and targets he had. So it would be I'm interested to see if Jaden Reed comes back, how much they would use him.
It's a little different situation. You know, Watson coming back from a knee and Reed,
foot,
you know, his shoulder. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you don't want him taking, you know, too many hits on the shoulder, but – you know, he's got a plate in there, and I wouldn't worry about him getting hurt again.
Okay, you think that too. I was going to ask if because my temperature on it was that this is different than a coming back from a soft tissue injury, yeah, where you have to ramp him off for fear of re-injuring and a more serious injury. These are bones. So I was curious if you kind of felt the same way, where it's different.
I do. And I think he's been running for quite a while now, so I don't think that's a factor. I think they can use him. You know, he is the king of motion and runs, you know, horizontally all game long. I mean, that's worth something in their offense to get him involved that way, at least as a target or as a threat.
Or a decoy or something like that.
So, you know, I expect him to play, but I wouldn't think he's going to play 40 snaps. I don't think he'll play that much.
Yeah, but even still, I still think that if he does play, it should be a significant return. You know, it shouldn't be one of those. It's not a groin or a hamstring or a quad that he's returning from. Like, he should be ready to actually play.
Yeah. I guess that's the one thing I'm curious about with this group. Not only how healthy will they be in this game, but even if they don't win the game, can you find something offensively that you can use for the rest of the season? Like I said, if you have a healthy Josh Jacobs, I know Jordan Love has the shoulder situation, but he didn't really, you know, seem to be bothered by it. But with Jaden Reed, just can you find something in the passing game maybe that you can carry into this game? That's something that I'm definitely going to be monitoring.
I mean, if they lose 30-27 or you know, 40-37 or something like that, and they play, you know, they roll up 400 some yards or something like that, I don't think I think that would be a significant performance for them and might bode well for the future. If they continue to play like they're playing offensively, then, you know, I'm not sure. You know, in the big games against the big boys, are they going to be any better? Probably not.
Yeah.
So I think this is kind of a little bit of a measuring stick for them. You know, I mean, they'll be better when as Reed gets back into shape and Golden does too. But I think this is a game where they absolutely have to show some signs that their offense is going to be a factor.
Big part of it too is how much does taking 1 week off help Josh Jacobs? You know, I mean, is he ready to be a 20-25 carry workhorse on the short week, or is the knee just still really, really a problem?
Yeah, and if he does play, do they do that, as you just said, or do they just decide, let's split it with him and Wilson?
Yeah, that was something I was wondering about, too. I guess that's the other big question, just with injuries heading into this game because of the short week, because you have Keyshawn Nixon with the stinger. Mm-hmm. You had Quay Walker, who missed the last game.
Stinger.
With a stinger as well. With Carl Brooks, you already were kind of thin from the D tackles perspective. You know, I don't have the injury report on me, but like it was just, you know, a number of guys. Matthew Golden, Savion Williams was an estimated not participant in practice, though he did play. What I mentioned, Lucas Van Ness, I don't think he played a lot of snaps in the Vikings game, and then he was on the injury report. At least the estimated one is not practicing. So I guess, I don't know, when you get to this stretch of games, especially when you had an early bye week, I guess it's just kind of normal for you to almost, it in ways, almost limp into some of these games. But it's going to be intriguing how they'll be able, how healthy they will be
for this game. Their offensive and defensive lines are healthy. Mm-hmm. And that is huge. Mm-hmm. So if any part, you know, of, if you were going to pick two areas other than your quarterback, that would be what you would want, is to have those areas healthy and have some depth there. Mm-hmm.
The Keyshawn Nixon one's going to be interesting. I imagine for him, it comes down a lot to range of motion, right? Mm-hmm. Especially being able to, with his, the whatever the opposite of a catch radius is for a corner, being able to defend that radius. But I also think it's much easier for him to play this week than it was for Quay Walker or a lineman to play with a stinger. I mean, there's not the same physicality on the outside, and that's a pain tolerance, physicality, injury. Can you take a beating for four quarters or not? Much less of a beating at corner. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a game time decision. Matt LaFleur kind of referenced that as far as he's day to day and on a short week, that puts him in question for Thursday. But I think that because he is a corner, he has a better chance. And I do also think they very much could use him. They need him on the field.
The only question is, I mean, a stinger is a nerve injury. And if that thing is still inflamed and he's got some tingling or something, you know, they're not going to risk it because that could be a lot worse, I would guess.
Yeah. I will say, though, after going back and watching it, I like the way Kamal Haddon played. I thought he was aggressive. I thought he was, you know, when he had four tackles in the game. Mm-hmm.
And played the run well. Played off almost the entire game.
Yeah. He wasn't tested.
He didn't have to
wasn't tested.
Play Justin Jefferson at all. Yeah. You know, Valentine.
Or a quarterback moved for that round.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you're going to get a physical guy who, you know, if they have to play with them, they have to play with them. That's just part of the what they do. That. St. Brown's going to line up in the slot mostly, and then, you know, it's up to keeping Jameson Williams from burning, you know. He didn't even have a catch against the Giants, I don't think.
Yeah. So that's something that it'll be fascinating to watch, and just seeing how, like, a guy like Javon Bullard, who's played really, really well, you know, we talked to him in the locker room, you know, how will he handle this matchup? And, you know, Evan Williams has some momentum. So, again, this is kind of that time of the year. We did the question of the week. We talked about it on the podcast. This is kind of the last podcast. This is kind of that time where a lot of guys can really step up and make an impact. So, guys, I think we can just get ready for Thanksgiving and get ready for this game. And you are still not a fan of dressing or stuffing, correct?
No, that's... Stuffing is of the devil. It's no good. I know that's a very polarizing opinion. I know that I'm going to get a lot of crap and flack for that, but it is awful.
Yeah.
Awful, awful. My kids love stuffing.
I just want you to get a little hate mail for that. So that's all we got to do. Yeah. But in all seriousness, though, any final words, final thoughts as we get ready for this matchup? And, I mean, hey, what else can you say?
Yeah, I don't think there's much else to say about it. It's going to determine, you know, for both teams, it's huge. It's a big game for both teams.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
So we'll get some Thanksgiving food maybe at the press box and maybe get dinner after. Check out the Motown building in Detroit.
More excited for the dinner after than the Ford Field press box food on Thanksgiving, if I'm being honest here. It's just not – hopefully they don't run out. I mean, they've had years where they've done that, so.
Hey, they'll have a halftime show this year too. Who is it, Jack White?
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, but I was kind of disappointed because Eminem is the producer of the show.
Mm.
But I'm like, why won't you? Why don't you?
What a collab that would be if he just makes a cameo. So there's a chance he makes a cameo. Could he make? Could that be pretty sweet?
He better. Yeah. He better, because I can get down with some Eminem. At least it Lose Yourself something. I don't know. Give us something for this game. So let's wrap this up before.
Is that the time you're going to be using the restroom?
No. You and I are going to be on going live on the blog. So.
That's true. I know. I'm going
to have Eminem, a little background music.
Yeah. I mean, if you want me to do it alone, I can.
Well, here's the thing. If it's just Jack White, I'll stay on the blog with you. But if I hear, I'm not afraid, see you, Spoon.
You're going to get real distracted real quick.
If I just hear Lose Yourself for something, you only get one shot. I'm like, you got this. You can take care of the rest of it. So let's wrap this up before I just go off the rails, because I'd mainly just talk about all the Thanksgiving food and just music. And
you're making me hungry, man.
I know it.
Hey, get some lunch.
Maybe they'll have a turkey leg for you in the press box. So, guys, thank you as always for all that you do. It's Thanksgiving time, so I'm going to say that I'm thankful for both of you guys, just you sometimes, Ryan, but right. Spoon, you all the time.
No, I'm thankful for Spoon.
Thank you.
I love you.
We're going to have some fun. But now, again, we appreciate even the people that check out this podcast each and every week. The hate mail, the love mail. You know,
why do you point to me when you say hate mail?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm not a hater.
Thank you for listening. No.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
That's right. No, but I really do appreciate it, guys. And thank you for checking out the Green 19 podcast. The Packers take on the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day at Ford Field. For Ryan Wood, Tom Silverstein, I'm Dominique Yates.
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Bah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.